Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa. Everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I'm very pleased to welcome Amy Medling and the title of her site, which it's funny because I thought it was just a tongue-in-cheek thing when I first stumbled on it. It's called PCOS Diva. And she's somebody I discovered when I first started doing research online for all of my hormonal issues. I was diagnosed with PCOS. As many of you that have been tuning into the show know, I have a litany of hormonal issues that I am dealing with. And again, a lot of what helped me progress in my journey was doing an extensive amount of research. And I stumbled on Amy's site, PCOS Diva, in the early part of my research. And frankly, I bring this up in the show, I was really surprised at how little, for lack of a better way of saying it, mainstream coverage there was on some of these issues for women in particular. PCOS, insulin resistance, if you will, Hashimoto's, hypothyroidism. They're just, I thought for sure that I would stumble on Amazon.com and find all these best-selling books and authors, but there really wasn't. What I did find was a lot of what I'd suggest are disparate resources out there. But the resources and women that I did find have become extraordinary resources for me. And Amy is definitely one of them. So I've really been chasing her to get her on the show. And this is a great interview. I know that you're going to get a lot out of it. Just a little bit about her background. Amy Medling is a certified health coach who specializes in working with women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, who are frustrated and have lost all hope when the only solution their doctors have offered them is to lose weight, take a pill, and live with those symptoms. We hear that all the time. People that write into Fitfluential, or certainly people that Amy and others have dealt with. In response to this, Amy founded PCOS Diva and developed a proven protocol of supplements, diet, and lifestyle programs that offer tools to help women gain control of their PCOS and regain their fertility, femininity, health, and happiness. So again, we talk a lot about, I'd say, like the beginner's look at, you know, a 30,000 foot view of PCOS, but also just hormonal issues in general, and also how important it is for all of us to become our own health advocate. You know, employ a lot of research, arm yourself with tools and knowledge so that you can go in as part of the medical process and not just be a passive participant, but an active participant. I know you're going to get a lot out of the show. Even if you haven't been diagnosed with PCOS, if you don't even think you have it, you will learn a tremendous amount about your health and what you can do to change it and take charge in this episode. So I'm excited for you to tune in. Enjoy this interview with PCOS diva, Amy Medling. Going to say it, I totally stalked you. And I call everything hormonal imbalance. I don't know, you're going to start talking about PCS. You're the expert here. PCOS, excuse me. You're the expert. But I put everything kind of under that lump umbrella of hormonal issues because that's what I've been dealing with for the better part of several years. And when I discovered your website, it was such a godsend because you have such extraordinary information, and I commend you for that. So I'm so honored to have you on the show. And whenever I have someone on the show for the first time, I always like to ask them about, you know, the beginning of their fitness journey. In this case with you, I think for the sake of our audience getting to learn about you and how you became such an expert in this area, you know, why don't you tell us what your story was with, you know, PCOS, and how did you end up becoming an expert? What was your experience with this?
Sure. And for those listening that don't know what PCOS stands for and what it is, it's actually polycystic ovary syndrome. It's an endocrine disorder. It's the leading cause of female infertility, and it affects up to 20% of women worldwide. And the crazy thing is that 50 or plus percent of women are undiagnosed. So, you know, as I talk about my story and we talk about PCOS symptoms, chances are somebody listening, you know, a light bulb might go off and kind of have an aha moment. But I hear from women every day with PCOS who are frustrated. They've lost all hope because the only advice their doctor offers them is to lose weight, take a pill, and basically live with their symptoms. And for much of my life, I was one of these women as early as, I think, age 14. So, you know, really going through puberty, I started wrestling with a lot of the common PCOS symptoms. And then one day when I was in college, I remember distinctly sitting in this cold exam room, really scared, confused, feeling lousy. I hadn't had a period in months and months, not really understanding why. I knew I wasn't pregnant. And basically, the doctor looked at me and said, you know, here's the prescription for the pill, and one day we're going to have to jump through hoops to get you pregnant. And I remember just feeling really confused, helpless, hopeless. It was a really dark moment for me. And many years later, with the help of fertility drugs, I did have a beautiful baby boy, and then suffered secondary infertility. And what that doctor had told me kind of came back to haunt me. And that it wasn't until going through that infertility journey that I found out that I had PCOS at age 30. So it took a long time for me to actually get diagnosed. After I did get pregnant a second time and had my second wonderful little boy, he's now 14, so he's not so little anymore. I did not bounce back, and I was exhausted all the time. And wasn't the mom and wife that I wanted to be. And so after years of following mainstream advice from countless doctors, I realized that nothing was really helping. And the drugs like metformin, which is a diabetic drug used off-label for PCOS, and the birth control pill was really making me sicker and more miserable. And I hear this from a lot of women, way too young to feel so old. Kind of sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. I knew that I couldn't no longer sort of have this pity party and have this victim mentality, that I had to empower myself to take back control of my health, that nobody else was going to do it for me, and had to really stop thinking and acting like a victim. And I spent many, many hours online, reading countless books. I went back to school to learn from experts. And then after literally hundreds of hours of trial and error, I kind of developed a protocol that allowed me to thrive. I changed my diet, my lifestyle, and most importantly, my mindset. I really started taking care of myself, probably for the first time in my life. Really putting myself and my needs first. And I don't think that that's selfish. It's really, as a woman with PCOS, you need to be a diva. And my husband, that's where the name PCOS Diva, which is the name that's of awesome. my company, kind of comes from, is because my husband kind of noticed this shift and declared me a diva. And, you know, at first I was offended, but then I had that aha moment. Like, I really had to take care of myself in order to be the best for my family. So that's really what kind of launched PCOS Diva, and I ended up becoming a health coach, and I have helped thousands of women at this point through my one-on-one coaching and online programs to you know, I say reclaim their fertility, femininity, health, and happiness with PCOS.
You had so many great talking points that I was feverishly taking notes here. And I love that you said that you decided to put yourself first, because I guarantee you, I know so many of our listeners, I'm not a mom, but I think that that's very common with mothers in general, that they're used to putting their kids first. And then, you know, it's a partner or a husband, and they put everybody first. I inherited that nature from my mom. I'm not a mom. I don't have kids. I feel like I have 7,000 kids in our Fitflential Ambassadors some days. So I have adult children, but I've never had kids of my own. And yet I have the same tendency to put myself last. I've certainly noticed it in my work with constantly burning the candle at both ends, being a workaholic. And when I had several people say to me over the past couple of years, you have got to stop running yourself in the ground. You've got to make time for yourself and your health. I realized that's when I had my wake-up call. But I'm really glad that you said that, because so many women, in particular, I believe a lot of mothers will think it is selfish. They'll think, you know, I'm being a diva. I can't do that. I can't put myself first. You can serve others better. And that includes your kids. It includes your partner, includes your husband or your girlfriend or your wife, whatever it is. It's going to help you be a better person to the people in your life. And you have to understand that's critical. You know, I mean, do you run into that a lot with the women that come to you for coaching, that you kind of have to still get over that issue of, oh, I can't do this. I can't make myself a priority. Is that kind of a stumbling block for a lot up front?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of clarify, it isn't sort of the negative idea of a diva. You know, you think right. about these singers that only want green M&Ms in their dressing room, or, you know, I'm thinking like Mariah Carey being carried off in a chaise lounge. You know, that's not what I mean. It's really, I think it boils down to women feeling that they are enough, that they're worth advocating for themselves and asking mm-hmm. for exactly what they want. And, this sort of became apparent, like in restaurants, when I started eating well and taking care of myself and becoming a diva. You know, I was very articulate about what I ordered in a restaurant, and knowing that I'm worth taking that extra time and effort, even though you might think it might be offending somebody to, you know, make sure that you're being served, you know, something sautéed in butter rather than trans fat, you know, oils or whatever. So that's part of it. I think the other thing too, is knowing that you're worth taking the extra time to meal plan for the week. I think that's such an important aspect of self-care, sitting down with a cup of tea and, you know, in a comfortable chair and figuring out your meal plan and grocery list for the week, rather than just haphazardly going to the grocery store and just sort of putting meals together on the fly. Knowing that cooking and getting in, I say a diva sizzles in the kitchen, getting in the kitchen and cooking real food from scratch is really an act of self-care. You know, getting yourself to the gym or going for a walk and getting some sunlight, you know, sunshine or fresh air, that's an act of self-care. You know, it's just these little choices that you make in your day, but making them from a place of I deserve this and I'm worth spending the little bit of extra time on myself to nourish myself. I think that's that mindset shift that I had to make.
Today's Fitfluential Radio episode is sponsored by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and many more. 56% of Health IQ customers save up to 33% on their life insurance policies, and these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Health IQ can save their customers this much because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. To get your free quote today, mention the promo code FITFLUENTIAL when you talk to a Health IQ agent. There's so many things I want to bring up. You know, you mentioned the restaurant example, and I worked in restaurants for years, so I always knew beforehand, like, hey, it's okay to go in and say, I want this Cobb salad, but I don't want bacon. I'd like to add tomatoes. I'd like to do this. If you ask in the right way and you ask up front, don't wait till the server brings the food and go, oh yeah, take this off, this off. You know, ask for it up front. It's really not that big of a deal. But a lot of women and men probably too do think, oh, and I see this with my parents. If they get food delivered to them and maybe they had asked for it a certain way, or they get the wrong meal, they'll say, I don't want to be a bother. Well, it's not being a bother. They're there to serve you, and you are absolutely worth it. So ask up front. Restaurants in particular, just on that note, are very, very happy to customize things for you. I go to a drive-through here in Austin that has grass-fed beef, and they don't have it on the menu, but they'll do your burger wrapped in lettuce. A lot of restaurants do that. So always ask for what you want, and you don't need to apologize for it, especially if you're asking in a kind and respectful way. One of the things that I want to bring it back to the big picture of PCOS, and you did a great job of defining that up front. And I want to share, I'm going to ask a question because I was also diagnosed with PCOS, and it still is something that confuses me. And I have a feeling a lot of our listeners have had it, confusing experiences, if you will, with their OBGYN. And so I want to not put you on the spot, but ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was seeing my gynecologist, and I had been on the pill, regrettably, since the age of 20. And all of my life, I was just always on the pill, never thought 2 seconds about it. For me, not planning really to get married and have kids, I never thought about, oh, is this going to affect me from a fertility perspective? But I had no idea what the pill did to my hormones. And frankly, at age 20, I probably wouldn't have cared if someone told me, let's be real. But later in life, when I started having issues, when I went off the pill, I had massive amount of bleeding. And I know a lot of people that write into us have that, where they go from not bleeding at all, they go off the pill, and then they're almost hemorrhaging. They're like, for me, I remember when I went to see my OBGYN and they did the scan and they said, oh, you have cysts on your ovaries and you used to have one and now you have more and they're bigger. And you know what their answer to me was with that? You know, again, I went in because I was bleeding for probably 3 weeks out of every 4 in the month, bleeding all the time, cramping, headaches, migraines, whatever. I go in, they do the scan. They say, oh, last time you had a couple of cysts on your ovaries. This time you have more and they're bigger. And her answer to me was, we'll just put you on the pill. And I said, okay, isn't this the problem? Shouldn't we? And I'm just speaking to you as Joe Consumer. Like, I don't know, but I would think if I have cysts on my ovaries, wouldn't they want to take that out? And her answer was, put you on the pill. They put me on Lolo Estrinfae, which was one of the worst things I've ever had happen to me. I gained 20 pounds almost overnight. I had migraines worse than I've ever experienced in my life. The side effects were awful. When I did some Googling on Lolo Estrinfae, I almost died that was recommended for me. But I ended up going back in, and after being told by a different doctor, I got a uterine ablation. That was a better path for me. But my question for you is that really the best path? And do you think that, like, what does going on the pill do for cysts on your ovaries? And should most people, when they're diagnosed with that, the first part of the question is, I'm sorry, is PCOS as simple as you have cysts, plural, on your ovaries? And number two, is that the only option to women if they're seeing a typical OBGYN is putting people on the pill? Do they ever do surgery to actually remove cysts?
So I'm just curious with you, did you have normal periods before you went on the pill?
Yes, I did.
You have like any insulin resistance like prior to the pill?
I do. No, but I don't know that it was tested. I definitely I've been diagnosed with insulin resistance. They did put me on metformin. I went off of it and actually cured, if you will. I improved my insulin resistance just with diet, as opposed the metformin wasn't doing anything for me.
So, you know, it's interesting because PCOS is a syndrome. There's really no, it doesn't affect every woman in the same way. And I think there's different types of PCOS, and we're just, I really think that we're just sort of scratching the surface on figuring out these different phenotypes of PCOS. There's a great naturopath. Her name's Dr. Laura Bryden, and she's great to follow if you're interested in hormonal health. But she has presented this concept of post-pill induced PCOS. So sounds like that might have been something that you were dealing with. Coming off the pill, you get sort of these PCOS-like symptoms. And you can definitely manage that with some supplements like Vitex, which is not great for everyone with PCOS, but it's really helpful for kind of that pill-induced phenotype. And then there's things like licorice and peony. Peony can kind of help induce ovulation and kind of get your cycles back on track after being on the pill. But doctors, like mainstream medical, don't really know herbals and supplements and kind of getting to that root cause. So they basically, like you said, the prescription was just to put you on another pill. So that was really unfortunate.
And I think that's probably typical.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's
yeah. It is.
We hear that all the time. I mean, I get it from friends on Facebook and people will ping me on Instagram because I've been sharing my whole hormonal journey. I'm still in the middle of it. I assume I always will be. And that's fine, because when you start to learn, so let me pause here, ladies, for those of you that are listening, I know you've heard me share this, but, in the midst of this great interview, and I hope someday down the road we can, when it works with your schedule, Amy, we can have you back on the show, because I think that you have so much to teach on this, and I'm guessing this affects, wow. I mean, when you said 50% are undiagnosed, I bet you there are so many women that are, and they're going through what I did, excessive bleeding, then they go into the doctor, they go into the OBGYN, and they're going to be told, they're going to probably be given an antidepressant, told to exercise, chill out, and they're probably going to be told to go on the pill. And in my opinion, I'm certainly not going to say mine's the only opinion, going on the pill, anything that's the birth control pill, is basically like, here, let me take all of your symptoms and everything you're dealing with from a hormonal issue perspective and make them 20 times worse. I mean, the pill is not the answer for everything. And it's frustrating too, because with a lot of moms that don't want to get pregnant again, they have these issues and then they say, okay, if I can't go on the pill, what do I use for birth control?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can answer that question, but with people that you coach, if they bring that up to you, are there other methods of birth control that you recommend as an alternative? I kind of feel like there's side effects with almost everything out there other than abstinence or some other awkward practices. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
First of all, I just want to say that the main problem with the pill for treatment of PCOS is that it really worsens the main cause of PCOS, which is insulin resistance, which is, I guess, why I asked you, did your insulin resistance increase while being on the pill or post-pill? But in terms of, birth control, the best birth control for PCOS, Honestly, I think it's learning your cycles. And there's a great device out there. And I know that there's lots of different devices, but there's a device called Ovusense. And it's a monitor that monitors ovulation. And it's great for women who are trying to get pregnant. But I think, you know, they can't, and Ovusense can't come out and say it's a birth control method. Mm-hmm. But it's a great method for birth control too, because it for women with PCOS, it will predict your ovulation with 99% accuracy. And it's like a vaginal probe that you wear. It kind of looks, it's sort of like a tampon, but it measures your internal temperature throughout the night. And it syncs into your iPhone, and it's such great data to take to your doctor, like especially if you're trying to get pregnant, to see where you are in the cycle. Women with PCOS tend to have longer cycles and ovulate later. So you could use something like that you know, is no hormone, added hormones in any way, you know, really non-invasive and extremely accurate. So that's what I tell my client to look into.
Okay, we'll make sure that we link this up too. I might ping you to make sure I'm spelling it right. But that's great. And so we're not going to get into a deep dive and make this the pregnancy show. But I do know, number one, a lot of women that come to you are probably thinking and dealing with fertility issues. And there's obviously a lot of moms and moms that hope to be moms listening. And so this is going to be particularly relevant to them. And my one question is it really true when the topic of birth control comes up, are there just a couple of days of the month? And yes, I'm a 48-year-old woman asking this. Are there just a couple of days in the month typically that one can get pregnant if you're not on the pill? Is that accurate or is that way off with what I've been told?
Yeah. And I mean, with women with PCOS, you know, we often have non-ovulatory cycles. We don't ovulate. And so, you know, there isn't really any day of the month that we can get pregnant. So that's really the problem with PCOS for a lot of women. Okay. So it's using methods things like the peony that I just had mentioned. And then there's pharmaceutical drugs like Clomid and Letrozole. What Letrozole is actually should be first line therapy nowadays over Clomid, but a lot of doctors don't know that because it has more success in trials. But one thing that you had asked me that I definitely want to mention, you had said something about women with having cysts on your ovaries, is that part of PCOS? That is just one diagnostic criteria right now. And there's actually 30% of women with PCOS do not have cysts on their ovaries. So there is an effort in the medical community to rename PCOS, something like metabolic reproductive syndrome, is because PCOS is somewhat of a misnomer, because it isn't. Not all women have polycystic ovaries, and it's really more driven from a metabolic endocrine issue than a result of polycystic ovaries. And you also asked about surgery. And the interesting thing, which just blows my mind, is my mother has PCOS. You know, I have that hereditary sort of phenotype of PCOS.
Okay.
And my mother had to have a wedge recession, which is, I think, was kind of a radical surgery back in the late 60s, where she had a small kind of wedge taking out of her ovaries that it sort of helped to reduce the androgen production and kind of regulated her cycles. And now we don't really do those anymore, but laparoscopic drilling is something that often is done, but in my mind, that it should not be first line therapy. I think there's so much that can be done with lifestyle changes, and it was really helped me with my PCOS. I mean, I never had surgery, and I actually have three children. So after I had the two little boys, I had another little girl completely natural at age 37 after getting my lifestyle in order and living like a diva.
Okay. This is the perfect way for us to kind of move and use the last bit of our time. So everything you just said, I'm going to make sure I follow up with you so we can link to all of this at the end of the show. And that was also really good just for me. I was certainly, I'm sure you could tell by the way I asked the question, very confused. Like for me, it was about, I was diagnosed by my OBGYN, and it was really the way that she explained it to me. It was, you have cysts and that's why you have PCOS. I really didn't look at it as strictly more of a problem for reproduction. I don't know how you put that. But so in other words, there's almost two ways of either way, it's a problem. And for me as the patient, and this is, I think, a good segue, you had mentioned earlier in the show, you know, when you go to your doctor or your OBGYN and you have information from a proactive standpoint, that's certainly what I and we at FitFluential want to do, is provide education and information to our consumers, to our audience, and help them become comfortable being their own advocate. And that is just mm-hmm. what you said, because I think it's very frustrating for everybody to hear your typical doctor is not going to ask you about this. Your typical doctor, like you mentioned, one of the pharmaceuticals that's better than the other. Well, guess what? If you really, because in the beginning of my hormonal imbalance journey and starting to see the right kinds of doctors, I got very angry at the other doctors I'd seen, and I was very just upset. Why aren't you guys studying this? Why don't you know this? Well, let's get real. They have a practice, right? Why would every single doctor in this country suddenly be compelled to stop what they're doing and go do all of this education? We certainly wish they would, but it's, you have to understand how they got their schooling, how they practice, and you know, they've got to keep the lights on, and all of this is a tremendous amount of additional education. That said, it's our jobs as individuals to be proactive for our own health, and certainly in the case of moms and dads, for the sake of our kids, right? So get the information, get the education, and don't hesitate, I'm sure you'd say this, to be a diva in the doctor's office and go in and say, I've had some blood work done. I've had this done. I'd like to ask questions. You're allowed to ask questions. You're allowed to make recommendations. I'm fortunate enough to have a wonderful doctor here in Austin, Dr. Lane Sebring. I've interviewed him on the show. And most often when I go see him, it's a dialogue. I've become very comfortable being an advocate, asking questions, pushing back, saying, I did some research, here's what I found. And I encourage everybody listening to do the same. And a lot of that information, of course, I mean, if you go to Amy's site, PCOS Diva, which of course we'll link up at the end of the show, you're going to find quite a lot of that information, tips, tricks. She's got services. She's got an extensive store with, you know, the supplements that she's studied that are perfect for wherever you are in your journey. But getting ahead of myself, I think a good way for us to wrap up today with this initial intro on PCOS is, you know, you mentioned that you were able to make so many of the changes in your symptoms and with your problems with diet, mindset, and lifestyle, which is awesome. And a lot of people will think, oh, I have this horrible, you know, chronic illness, and the only, you know, what's the pill? What's going to fix me? What's the pharmaceutical? Right. What were some of those diet, mindset, and lifestyle changes that you made that started to make an impact on how you felt?
Sure. I'd be happy to address that. I just wanted to let people know that if they suspected they have PCOS, and some of the symptoms would be weight gain, especially around the middle, that indicates kind of that insulin resistance issue. Acne, especially like the jawline acne, which is more of like a hormonal induced acne. Hair loss, so male pattern baldness, hair growth in places where you don't want it. Those are all kind of classic symptoms of PCOS. So if that sounds like you, download my PCOS 101 guide. You can get that at PCOSdiva.com/hope. And there I really teach you how to be a diva at the doctor, you know, the labs to ask for, the type of people that you want on your health team. So
That's awesome.
Yeah, so really important. Now, the mindset, I think we kind of already talked about that, just realizing that I am enough and I deserve to take care of myself. Around the diet is just making sure that I add lots, not that I'm vegetarian or vegan, but I eat lots of plant-based food. And women with PCOS tend to be, I call it, overfed and undernourished. You know, we're eating a lot of processed food that is devoid of nutrients. And we tend to be really nutrient deficient. And so we need to make that up through eating lots of plant-based food and taking some key supplements. We tend to be very low in B12 and vitamin D and magnesium, and all of those need to be supplemented. And then in terms of moving like a diva, I was one that I would run every single day to try to keep my weight down. It was kind of like trying to burn the calories out, you know, mm-hmm. running on the treadmill and killing myself with cardio. And I was really exacerbating PCOS symptoms. Cardio in that way tends to kind of burn out your adrenals, and a lot of us have adrenal issues. So when I started shifting to more like strength-based training and walking intervals, yoga, it really shifted the way my body looked and felt. So you need to really look at the way that you're exercising as well.
Gosh, I love that. I love hearing it from you, though, in addition to the other types of individuals that we've had with varying backgrounds. You know, I'm somebody that in my past, I have admittedly been a cardio queen. I still mentally am, you know, when I think about doing like an hour of Tai Bo, like the original Tai Bos, and just sweating and kickboxing. And I mean, I'd love to do that. I mean, it's something that I enjoy, but kind of like, I know what happens to me when I eat donuts. I eat donuts, I get an immediate headache. I know what sugar and gluten does to me. So it's like, is it worth it? For me, I have learned both with, you know, a fantastic trainer here in Austin, and just learning from my studies that the excessive cardio, it's not effective for fitness goals, but also back to what you said, and so many women don't understand, and that's what I'm passionate about getting across, is the more you really start to understand, ladies, stress, and just in general, mm-hmm. I'm generalizing here, but excessive cardio, which is what typically women will tend to do when they want to lose weight, especially, you know, you were sharing, Amy, these women are going to have weight around their core. I've experienced that. I that's the last place for me that I'm losing it. And the automatic tendency for women is, well, I'm going to run more. I'm going to go do, you know, I'm going to get on the treadmill. And if this isn't working, I'm going to cut back what I'm eating. So they're denying themselves the nutrition, which you know, you referenced the importance of taking care of yourself, nourishing yourself, fueling yourself. They're going to cut back on that. And then they're going to, excessive cardio. So you're putting all that stress on the body. When you do that, not only is your body going to, from a fitness perspective, it's not going to let go of that fat, but then you're probably, and again, this is my non-doctor, you know, articulation of this, you're going to jack your cortisol up. If you have adrenal issues, as I do, you're going to make those worse. Insulin resistance can be inevitable. So definitely listen to all of these tips. I would suggest are good for most of us. But what I really suggest, and we're really up at the end of our time, so I know Amy has to go. I've got to make sure I close up here. I really want everybody, and Amy, what I'd like you to do is tell folks where they can, I know we referenced it early in the show, but for everybody listening, I really, really, really encourage you to go to Amy's site. I absolutely stalked her to be on the show because she taught me so much. Her website, when I was starting to do my research on all of my hormonal issues, I was so confused. And I frankly was surprised when I went on Amazon. I thought if I just typed in PCOS or Hashimoto's or whatever, that there would just be umpteen books by best-selling authors on all this stuff. There isn't. And yet what I did find is fantastic. That there's not many, but there's a few amazing resources and women out there in particular. And Amy, you're one of them who, when I stumbled on your site, I was like, I couldn't get enough. So I want everybody, if you think this is you, go here and start reading up. She has a tremendous amount of resources. So Amy, as we close, if you can just tell everybody who's listening, where do they find you? And then reference that HOPE URL as well. We'll link that up in the show. And take it away. Where do we find you?
Sure. So I'm at PCOSdiva.com/hope is the guide. And I have to say, I am thrilled to announce that I have a book coming out with Harper One. They're an imprint of HarperCollins, and it's called Healing PCOS, and it'll be out May 1st. I know it's a little ways away, but I'm going to have lots of pre-launch bonuses. So just come back to PCOS Diva, you know, as we get closer, and you know, would love to share that resource with you as well.
Oh, that's number one. That's great to hear. And I think that, I mean, obviously you could hear my excitement. I put that in my notes and I will follow up with you, because I think I'm certain, you know, before the launch comes out, we could talk about doing something like a Facebook Live and getting some folks to, you know, do some Q&As and promote your book. Because again, I think for everybody listening, when you head over to Amy's site, you'll see what I mean, and you will learn so much from her. So, Amy, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for giving us a pocket of your time today. This was tremendously beneficial. I think everybody listening is going to understand why they need to head over to your site and dive in and start educating themselves. And I love that your URL is hope as well, because one of the things, that's the actual word that I started using after I first saw my first doctor out in Arizona, and I started getting my blood work. I left that first meeting with him when he explained my blood work to me, and I said to my mom, I'm like, I finally have hope about my situation. I'd felt so hopeless. So I love that that is such a predominant phrase on your website, because so many women, I know that's how they feel. They feel hopeless. And now you can have hope again and know that you can get better over time. And so much of this is within your own power. So Amy, thank you again for being on the show. I will follow up with you to have you back. And for everybody tuning in, the notes will be at fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any specific questions for when we have Amy back on the show, you can email us podcast@fitfluential.com. And until next time, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.